Let's go. Welcome back. Who enjoyed the song?
I think that most of you now understand me.
Rafael, you enjoyed the song.
Wow.
Sadik echad misdo. Who else? Who else enjoyed the song? Anyone here? Rafael, you're on my team. I choose you on my team. Anyway, all the rest are on Friel's team.
I liked it because I didn't understand one word.
Because you what?
I liked it because I did not understand one word.
Even in Hebrew, that was fast. So just before we're going to say the lyrics and the story, there is a very interesting story behind the song. Just to say, Israeli hip-hop, Israeli rapping, is not something that usually you will hear in classic places. And it's not a very big genre, also today, in these days in Israel. And we decided to bring it, not basically because of the song that might, some of you might like it, some of you might, most of you might not. Mostly because of the story there is behind it. Because hip-hop hides behind it, can hide some interesting stories. So we will share the lyrics and the pictures. And we will try to, I don't know, as much as we can to maybe make you love the song. If not, only Rafael and I are going to listen to the song more and more times. Don't worry. We'll do that. All right, let's share the screen. All right, so the song is called Elbows, which is Marpekim in Hebrew. Elbows, Marpekim, was released in 2015, written, composed, and performed by a young guy called Itai Zvulun, that answers to his performance name as Tuna. Just like the fish, his name is Tuna. That's the name that he chose for himself. That's how the modern singers like to do. The song, you want to talk a little bit about the story?
Maybe we need to explain what is elbows in Hebrew.
Why do you mean when you say someone has elbows? Anyone? So, maybe Benny can help us. Benny, when we say in Hebrew, someone got marpekim. He hits a little bit people with his elbows. You know what we mean? When we say he got marpekim, when he got elbows. So that's a phrase. When we say someone got marpekim, has elbows, that means he, unfortunately in Israel, according to some people, they think that in order to maybe be successful in business, in politics, you need to have elbows. In other words, you need to push sometimes people to the right, to the left, maybe to lie to them, maybe also things regarding corruption. But if you're going to be only innocent, and you're going to be, how we say in Hebrew, Yele Tov Yerushalayim, right? A goody two shoes, a goody boy, whatever you say in English, then you're not going to be successful. So in Hebrew you say you need to have Marpekim. You need to have elbows so you can push people to the right and to the left in order to move forward, which is a very, very sad thing and not necessarily a true thing. But the story behind the song, you want to talk a little bit more? Yeah, you want to say, Ruhama?
The Milon.
That's a dictionary? You're muted, Ruhama. You're muted. You are muted.
I looked now in the dictionary of Ben Yehuda, and it is elbow.
Very good. Very good. Marpekim. Very good. That's how we say. Thank you very much, Ruhama. Thank you. So we want to talk about a little bit about the story, about the song he's talking about. Yeah.
So the song is talk about someone that at the beginning of their life, he was a cute child that started without elbow when he was born. And then he grew up and he hate Nifga.
Well, yeah, he was harmed, people, because he didn't have elbows, so-called. Like, he was born without the elbows. He didn't know how to fight his way forward. People took advantage, and other kids took advantage and made laugh of him, and they made laugh of him in the way to the ice cream van or in the small valley and so on and on. And he said, I want one day, he had the dream, one day I will grow up a pair of elbows and I will be able to push people also from side to side, and they will see that.
And then he continued to the army, and he was a really great soldier, and then they wanted him to stay in the army, and they say, I can't stay in the army because I don't have an elbows. So they offer him to do a surgery.
Like a surgery, they're going to give him some elbows, and he will become more and more. And this is what changed his life until he became very famous, very popular, maybe a politician, maybe a businessman. We heard a sample from a protest we'll talk about in a minute. The story behind the song, which is very... That's all for the song, don't worry.
This is a mashallah.
Yeah, it's a parable. It's a parable, in a sense. It's a parable. Oh, by the way, this is the album. You saw it. This is Itai Zvulun. This is Tuna, born 1948, 84. Now, if you heard you saw there was like a protest kind of sound. People shouted Hon Shilton Olam Tachton. I don't know if you hear that in the song. This was actually a recording that took place from the 2011 Israeli protest, social protest. Anyone knows what I'm talking about? Summer of 2011. Anyone remember, maybe followed Israeli news in 2011? There was a very, very big protest in Israel based on the high prices of living in Israel, and specifically based on the high prices of buying houses and apartments. It started with a young lady called Daphne Leaf. That was her name. That was in summer, July 2011. She lived in a house with more other people, but she didn't have any more money to pay for rent. And she looked for a cheaper place in Tel Aviv. She couldn't find a place, so she decided she's just going to take a tent, like you see here in the picture, and just live in the street in Shderot Rothschild, in the Rothschild Boulevard in Tel Aviv, which is maybe the most expensive place in Tel Aviv to live at. She said, if I can't afford renting an apartment, a small apartment, then I'm going to live in the most expensive road, Boulevard in Tel Aviv, and I'm going to live in a tent. And she lived in a tent. She opened an event on Facebook where she invited people to come and be with her because she wanted to start a protest. And like fire, everyone, many, many people started to come to the Rothschild Boulevard in Tel Aviv, and they just brought their tents and they started to live in the boulevard. For 3 months, from July to September, people lived.
Also, you need to understand that July to September in Israel is the hottest months in Israel. You need to be at home with air conditioner, with ice cream, not outside in a tent. If you want to be outside in a tent, okay, because you travel, you want to do a camping with your family, but not to live your life.
People that had, also people that had apartments, they decided they're going to leave their apartment, they're going to move because they wanted to start this protest that the government needs to do something with the prices of real estate, with the prices of apartments and houses. So many, many, many people came to Rothschild, and it was a huge thing. I remember walking there because my grandmother lives very close to where that was in Tel Aviv. Here, Ruhama also. And you couldn't walk on the boulevard. It's a very long boulevard. Those of you who walked Shderot Rothschild in Tel Aviv, it was packed with tents, with young people and families and children that just lived for 3 months in a tent in Tel Aviv, waiting for the government to do something. And it all started with this young lady called Daphne Leaf. This is Daphne Leaf. This is her. This is the tents in Tel Aviv in the summer of 2011. Now, just for you to understand a little bit about how difficult that was in Israel to buy an apartment, not that it's easier today, some would say it's even more difficult. This is from the newspaper when the protest started in 2011. I translated only the names of the countries. I'll explain what we see here. This is the number, how many monthly salaries, average of a monthly salary, does someone need in different countries in order to buy a house, to buy an apartment. So you can see, for example, Sweden has 30, need 30, the average of 30 monthly salaries payments in order to buy a house. Canada in 2011 had 56, right afterwards the USA. Look at Israel. Israel is 121 salaries that a young family had to have in order to buy, to purchase a house or an apartment. 121 salaries. An average of it, which is very, very, no one could afford.
It's two houses in Canada.
It's like two houses in Canada. Exactly, like two houses in Canada. Today, the prices are very high, also in Canada, also in Israel. But Israel is still one of the most expensive places in the world. And it's very difficult for young families like us, for example. If we want to get to an apartment or to a house in Israel, it's very difficult. It's almost impossible for us to do it. So this was all this protest was about. And many, many people came and started to protest with them. And they went out to the streets. The highlight was on September 3rd, 2011, the end of the 10th protest. There was what is called the Tzadat HaMillion, the Million People Protest. There was not a million, there was more than 500,000. But you can see pictures from Tel Aviv. The masses of people that walked in Tel Aviv, it's still today the biggest protest of all times in Israel. They demanded from the government to have some changes. And from that protest, Tuna, the rapper, Itai Zvulun, he recorded in this protest in 2011, he recorded the people chanting and singing Hon Shilton Olam Tachton, like corruption, capitalism, carnism, what they protested back then, and he turned it 4 years later into a song that is based on this protest. So the song we just heard, Elbows, based on this protest, we don't know exactly if that's for a person, maybe a politician, who is he talking about? But the song talks about this, the biggest protest in Israel history, which was this protest for the high expense of living, of life in Israel. You want to talk a little bit about the people? Okay, I'll take it from here, no problem. So there were three people that really, really ruled it. So we talked about Staff Shafi, we talked about Daphne Leaf here on your left. But there were two more people. There was a young guy, we'll focus on him. His name was Itzik Shmuli, the young guy here in the middle. He was the head of the students association in Israel. And he was one of the leaders of this protest. And in the protest, whoever was in the government, Benjamin Netanyahu, he was the prime minister, and Yuval Steinitz, he was the minister of economy, and Moshe Kahlon, he was the minister of labor, social affairs, and social services. And Itzik Shmuli himself, he met with him, and he talked to him, and he said, you are in charge for making sure that young families can make a living in Israel, and can actually live decent life and buy a house in Israel, and that it would not be impossible. And whoever thought about it, that 10 years later, he got into politics and he replaced Moshe Kahlon in this position. And he became Itzik Shmuli, the young guy that led the protest, turned to be a politician and turned to be the minister of labor, social affairs, and social services, which is, it's a fascinating thing to think about. But he ended up in politics as well for the other woman, Staff Shafir, that was up there with him. And before I tell Priya to speak a little bit about the hip-hop in Israel, I'll just say, this is a picture from yesterday, from the same place in Shderot Rothschild in Israel, from the Rothschild Boulevard in Israel, same place yesterday. I don't know if you heard, now the government fell in Israel earlier today, I don't know if you heard of it, but there is starting to be a new protest. Same protest with people moving because the expenses of buying an apartment, a house in Israel is very high. Young families started to build up tents again in the same place. We're 11 years later, and they decided that maybe they should start and restore the protest. So now it's on a low heat, low level, not too many people, but more and more and more people. Same. We'll see. We'll see. We don't know if it's going to be the same.
No, a year after that's happened, they started to do that again, but they didn't succeed to do that. Yeah. And a year after that again, but I don't think that they will succeed to do the same.
I can tell you that my grandmother didn't like it because it was a slip for her every day to come back to her house because she lives very close and there were many, many people and tents. She doesn't like it. She doesn't want it to be again. Priya, you can take it from here.
Okay, so the Israeli hip-hop. We just want to say that it started in the 80s, but not something really strong with the power. Just after 20 years, they started to write hip-hop songs and to be more in this genre in Israel. And then 15 years after that, there was a lot of artists that started to...
Based on American influence, right?
Yeah,
based
yeah.
On, yeah. That's not ours. So. not original Israel. That's American influence, not our fault.
They started to hear that in the radio in Israel, and Tuna, that we just spoke about, and other artists in the hip-hop in Israel, started to be more common and to hear about them more. You want to explain about
Gazela? I'll say that, yeah, the people, the mainstream, like all of you, most of you didn't like the song. That's also for Israelis. Many Israelis don't like this kind of music. They don't like this style of music because it's not for them. And usually it's more, and Priel, and usually it's more for focused on the young people and the young adults. Now, what happened? How did this song became very famous in Israel? It's thanks to our number one popular radio in Israel, which is called Galgalatz, which is Israelis music in the radio station. Now, you need to understand that in Israel, there are the two most popular radio stations actually belong to the army, to Tzahal. There is Galei Tzahal, which is more about news and interviews, and there is Galgalatz, which is another station, belongs to Tzahal, that plays only music. It was founded in 1993, and there is soldiers that usually many people want to go there, but it's very prestigious and very difficult to get into this unit. But that's a unit in Tzahal that only what they're in charge of is communication, and specifically the radio stations, and they are the one who's broadcasting. And it's still until today a debate whether Tzahal should have a radio station. Maybe it shouldn't. Why should an army and soldiers be doing radio shows when they can do other important stuff? But it's still one of the most popular, I think the most popular radio station in Israel. And because those young people, 18, 19, 20, 21, they are the people who are in charge of the music. So they started to play the music that they like. And they started to play this rapper, Itay Zvulun, Tuna, and more of his songs and other rap, hip-hop songs. And that's how people started to get to know this kind of style of music. And which is fascinating because today it's you can open the radio and you will hear hip hop, which is something that cannot be taken to granted before that. So all of this would be thanks to Galgalatz and also other stuff. There are thanks to Galgalatz.
When I open the radio and hear hip hop, I just move this.
And Priel stops when she hears hip hop. She closes the radio or she changes the station and she turns into a different thing.
Hip hop in Israel just. Try to put a lot of words in a same song and not with a lot of message, so and not with a lot of beautiful melodies and just
I don't know. I like it. I like when there is meaning, but again, we told you we disagree on that case. That's for the song. That's for the social protest, the biggest protest in Israel history, and the song based upon it. Anyone, Ruchama or maybe Benny or someone here remembers exactly a little bit of the protest or can share with us if any other people also here
maybe
as well.
Also
Canadian, I don't know if maybe some of you saw it. Have you ever visited Israel in summer of 2011, Tel Aviv? Do you remember this? It was a very, very big thing.
I was living in Israel during the protest, the end of it.
In Tel Aviv?
In Tel Aviv, yeah, really close to Rothschild, just in September, so I saw it a lot when I was walking.
yeah, that was a very big thing. That was a very big thing. It was very, as they told, my grandmother doesn't like it. That wasn't for her, but at least they tried to do something.
That is not just in Tel Aviv. They come to Jerusalem
and Haifa all the time here in Toronto.
Oh, you saw it on the news. Oh, interesting, okay. Interesting.
It's happened also in Jerusalem and Haifa.
How did the protest end? That's a very good question, Rafael. So first of all, they finished it with the 1 million, that was half a million, people protest in Tel Aviv. That was like the highlight. And afterwards, people just came back to their houses. But what happened was that the government decided to appoint a professor of economy that will be under the Minister of Economy. His name was Manuel Trachtenberg. That was his name. He had a committee that the government promised the people they would start to see what they can do. For example, back then, a cottage cheese in Israel, which is very, very, very famous, very, very popular, very, very lovable. A tnuva cottage cheese in Israel could get priced up to 8 or 9 shekels. And the government decided that it's going to be only supervised. And it's going to be only no more than 590, 5 shekels and 90 agurot in that sense. So they tried to do some stuff based on this committee, based on him, but... Yeah, but I say it wasn't only on. You want to say it wasn't only on apartments. Yeah, no, it wasn't only on houses. It was many, many things
so
going on.
So we started to do the change from the supermarket or from the small things that we need daily.
In order to live there, but it didn't really, it didn't change anything. And today the prices are extremely high. We don't even think of that. Like a young couple like us could be ever in the coming years will be able to even think of buying an apartment or a house in Israel. That's the nature. Almost like what happened in Toronto, in a sense. Almost like what happened in Toronto, which is interesting to think about it in that sense. But in Israel, people, the young adults went out and they protested, which is it's a very interesting thing to do. Like Nathan says, it's kol kavod for them to doing so, even though they might fail. You don't need to stay to listen again to the song if you don't like it. That's fine. We'll not replay the song. We will send it again to, we will send it in the links with the lyrics and pictures, to the email afterwards. And, we want to thank you again for coming tonight. I hope that was, enriching a little bit and, we managed to tell an interesting story behind a not very nice song, according to you. Again, Rafael, I like it. So you're more than welcome to, play it over and over again. And, we will see you again next week on Monday on 7:30.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you all.
Yep, sure.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Hey.
Erev Tov.
Love you.